Everyone, this is Arthur Frawley Martin. I'm dropping in today to Rhema, read the Word of God. We're going to be on 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll finish the book of Exodus on my own time, probably on Facebook Live, and I'll share it over here. But I want to start back on 2 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, when I first came, Father, first of all, Lord God, we just thank you. I'm sorry for not acknowledging you. We thank you for being in the midst of us, for being amongst us. You said where two or three are gathered, there you are, Father. We thank you that you are right here, right now in the midst of us. You are amongst us. Amongst us, Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Father God, that you said we have an unction from the Holy One that teaches us all things. And as we hunger and thirst after righteousness, Father, you promise your word to us is that you would fill us. So, Father, help us to see what you see, hear what you hear, and give us a heart to receive your engrafted word. For the word of God is the power of God unto salvation. Father, we just thank you for waking us up this morning, for breath to breathe, strength to move, a mind to think right, Lord God, a voice to speak, a body. It's because of you and in you that we live, that we move, that we have our being, Father. And we just thank you right now. Good morning, my beautiful Letha. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, when I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words or impressive wisdom to tell you guys secret plans. I wasn't using big words and stuff like that, or impressive wisdom. It wasn't my wisdom. I wasn't trying to impress anybody. He said, for I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ. He said, I wasn't coming trying to show how educated I was or how special I was or nothing. He said, I decided to forget all that stuff. He said, I forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. He said, I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling. I came to you, in other words, I came to you in humility. This is how I approached you when I came to you, verse 4. He said, and my message and my preaching was very plain. It was very clear. It was very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, trying to persuade you and influence you, right? I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we are relying on you. We're relying on you, Father, for it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit, says the Lord. He said, I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Yet when I am amongst mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom. Because in other words, they can understand, you know, they're on me. I can talk, I can use bigger language. You know, they're more mature. He said, when I'm with the mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. Because some people you can't talk the Bible with, because, you know, when our mind is carnal, we can't even understand the words of the Lord. And two, you know, we're not spending time with God. We're not really interested in God. Thank you, Lord. When we don't spend time with God, it's because we're not interested in God. Because when we don't acknowledge God in all our ways, we ignore God in all our ways. And, you know, one of the things Proverbs say, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge me. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes, but depart from evil. And so when I'm trying to live life without Jesus Christ, not only is it I'm living a lifestyle of pride, but I'm trying to be wise in my own eyes. I'm trying to think up stuff and figure out how to do stuff. And he said, listen here, I'm doing all of this. He said, nah. I don't want you to do none of that. I don't want you trying to figure it out. I don't want you to lean to your own understanding. I want you to ask me for wisdom. And guess what? I'll give it to you. I just want you to ask me for whatever it is that you need, and I'll help you, right? Because I know everything about you. I know what you need. There's some things that you think you need, but it's really what you want. But I know all of this, for I know the way that you should take. Verse 8, he said, but the rulers of this world have not understood it. The devil, you know, because it's spiritually discerned, right? He said, but the rulers of this world, well, Satan, we know Satan is the god of this world. He's the small G-O-D. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scripture means when they say, no eyes have seen, no ears have heard, And no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. So don't try to figure it out. Don't stop trying to figure it out. Don't try to figure out how he's going to do it, when he's going to do it, who he's going to use to do it through. That's not our business. No eyes have seen, no ears have heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his spirit. God reveals himself to those who love him, to those who belong to him, right? Those who have not the spirit of God are none of his. But when we're born again, we have the spirit of God on the inside of us, and he will reveal his secrets to us. For those who fear the Lord, he'll make his covenant known to them, right? And Jesus said, you are a friend of mine. I no longer call you a servant, but a friend, because a servant doesn't know the master's business, but a friend does. The Lord will let his friends in on his business, right? But it was to us that God revealed these things by his spirit, for his spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit. So we got the spirit of God on the inside of us, right? And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit. So we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. He's given us the Holy Spirit so we can freely know the things that God has given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. We're not speaking earthly things. We're not speaking carnal minded. We're spiritually speaking, he said. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truth. The natural mind, the carnal mind, cannot understand the things of the Lord, for they are spiritually discerned. You know, like I say always, is, you know, before I accepted Jesus Christ and I would read the word, it was like a puzzle to me. I couldn't understand a word of it. It was like it was hidden from me. It was like it was in another language. I couldn't understand. I knew what the word said, but I didn't know what the word mean, because it was hidden from me. It made no natural sense to me, because it cannot be carnally, cannot be naturally discerned. It has to be spiritually discerned. He said, instead, we speak words given to you by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truth. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. Unbelievers can't understand the word of the Lord. So I always tell people, don't preach to sinners. We have to talk to them about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't preach sin to sinners, right? You have to become born again before you can even understand. We preach the gospel, the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ, his saving power. And we share our story so God can get the glory, because some people ain't going to believe unless they see. And some of those people who knew you before Christ and they see you after Christ, that alone is going to cause them to believe. It must be something to what they're saying, because that's what the Apostle Paul did, right? Saw when he was converted to Paul. Through the whole book of Acts, that's what he did. He went around telling people his story, right? And talking to them about the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God is not angry with you. God loves you, right? He said, when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit words to explain spiritual truth. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it, for they are only who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit is saying, because the natural mind don't understand the things of God, because they are spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit has to reveal it to them. That's why the Lord said to Peter, who flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, when he said, who do you say I am? He's saying there's no way your natural carnal mind could know that I'm the Messiah. He said, but my Father in heaven is the one who revealed this to you. And this is why I call this like a rhema word read, because, you know, when you read the word and it pops off the page, that's a rhema word. You say, oh, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. I mean, I've read that so many times, but oh, when he turns the lights on, and sometimes he'll give you a visual of his back with the stripes on it. That's how he gave it to me. Verse 15, he said, those who are spiritual can evaluate all things. They can discern, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? What can we teach God? Absolutely nothing. He said, but we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. When we, as we renew our mind, the Holy Spirit, which is God's Spirit on the inside of us, he helps us to understand. He reveals to us what the Spirit is saying. We're talking in the same language when I got the same Spirit, this Spirit to Spirit. He said his Spirit bears witness with our spirit to even let us know that we are sons of God. Verse 3, because I'm finished with 2. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you wasn't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful natures. He's saying, I still can't talk to you spiritually because you're still doing what your flesh want to do. And we see that sometimes. It's like, man, you know, some people you can talk to about the Lord and boy, y'all can just flow. But then people who haven't been spending time with God, they're not really interested in the word of God. They're not interested in really hearing about God. Well, I got to go. I got to hurry up and get off. I got to go. Why? Because when you're not spending time with God, there's no condemnation. But I'm just saying, when we're not spending time with God, it shows that we're not interested in God. Because when we don't acknowledge God, then we ignore God. There's no condemnation. This is a teachable moment. I'm just talking about relationship, because the truth of the matter is, but relationship problems begin when we don't spend time with each other, even in the natural, right? So when we don't spend time with God, we're not developing that love relationship with God. See, he already loved us. It wasn't that we first loved him. It was that he first loved us. And even when we were yet sinners, the word of the Lord said the way he proved his love for us is when we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. See, God is love. And that's who he is, and it has nothing to do with who I am or how I am. God is love. God hates sin, but he loves people. He can't help but to love us because love is who he is. God is saying, I proved it to you when I died for you. Aren't you convinced that my love for you is not about you? My love for you is about who I am, because God's love is agape. And when we agape, meaning it's unconditional, and when we agape other people, when we love God, then we can love others like God, right? So when we love others like God, it has nothing to do with what they do or don't do. See, we love them because of the love that's in us. We like Christ, God loves us because he is love. Well, I love you because of the love of God that's on the inside of me. I might not love what you do, but I still love you, because phileo love is human kind of love. And that love has conditions attached to it. It says, as long as you're doing everything that I want you to do, because really that's what it is. Remember, when we're I-minded, we're pride-minded. Remember, Satan is the god of pride. He was cast out of heaven because of pride. Look for the I, me's, and my's. When you look for the I's, me's, and my's, you're going to realize that you're operating under the influence of the spirit of pride, which is a demonic spirit, because when it's not about us, it's bigger than us, right? Verse 2, it says, I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you wasn't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready. I can't talk to you about the book of Revelations. I can't talk to you about this or some spiritual thing, because you're not ready yet, right? This is what he's saying to him. For you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You still want to do what your flesh want to do. He said, you are jealous of one another and you quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? When one of you say, I am a follower of Paul, and another say, I follow Apollos, aren't you acting just like people of this world? When you're saying, well, I go over here to this church, they don't speak in tongues, so I can't go to this church. And it's very carnal. And it's like, if you don't go to their church, they can't talk to you. They can't answer your phone calls. They can't associate with you. You would think it's kind of like you're a leper or something, like you've been cast out because you no longer go over here. You don't go here no more. So no, listen, it's not going to the buildings that make us brothers and sisters. It's belonging to the body that makes us brothers and sisters. We are one body, but many members. We're baptized into the same into one body by the same spirit. This is why we call each other sisters and brothers, because we have the same Father. We have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. This is why we say sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so. We're not related by the flesh, but we're related by the blood. We're blood related. We're blood related, Lisa. We're related by the blood because we have the same Father. We've accepted, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become children of God. We're sons of God. And if we're sons of God, then we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, right? When we are children of God, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He said, we are only, after all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. They said, listen, there's nothing special about me just because this one baptized you, or just because you go to this church, or just because you go to that church. It's nothing special about you. Those are human being people. Those pastors, those leaders are human being people. He said, there's nothing. He said, we're servants of God. We're servants of God. He said, each of us, we only did what the Lord gave us. Verse 6, he said, I planted the seeds in your heart, and Apollos watered it. But it was God who made it grow, right? One plant, one water, but God is the one who causes the increase. So when we're speaking the word of the Lord to someone, we may be the one that's planting. We may be the one sowing that seed into their heart. Remember, the word of God is like a seed, right? So when we're praying the word, speaking the word, you might be the one that's planting. Someone else might come along and they may confirm what you said. They may be the one that's watering it. But it's God who's going to actually be the one to bring this person to salvation. He's the one that's going to make it grow. We don't have no power of how tomato seed grow. Our goal is to put the seed in the ground, go out there, make sure it's properly fertilized, make sure it's watered, but then we got to wait on the Lord. We can't tell the crop when to rise. That God is in control of the growth. God is in control of the growth. This is why people can't change other people, because God is in control of the growth. One can plant, you can tell the person about Christ, someone else can come along and confirm it, but at the end of the day, no man can come unto Christ except he be drawn by the Spirit of the living God. Thank you, Lord. Verse 8, he says, the one who plants and the one who waters, they work together with the same purpose, right? Which is to try to reconcile people back to Christ. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. What do you mean we're God's field? Well, the parable of the sower, it talks about how, the different types of soil, the wayside, the stony, the rock, the good ground soil, right? So our heart is like a fresh pot of soil. So remember that when we're speaking words, we're sowing seeds. The word of God is a seed. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, and we will eat the fruit thereof. We're going to have what we're saying because we're sowing seeds. We're sowing seeds by the words we speak. Life and death is in the power of our tongue. So we're sowing seeds by the words we speak. So every time you speak words, just see it as seeds coming out of your mouth and going into the heart or going into the mind of someone else. Life and death. He said, we're going to eat it. Why? Because we're going to have what we say. We're framing our world with our words. And so when we say stuff and it happens, you say, see, I told you. Yeah. Well, you sowed that seed. You sowed that seed. I'm not talking about prophetic warnings. I'm saying when we're speaking stuff, we can't, we have to be careful of our words. We're sowing seeds. We're sowing seeds when we speak. And we're going to eat our words. You're going to eat the fruit thereof. You're going to have what you say. We're going to eat those words. We're going to eat those words. So make sure that we're speaking life. Make sure we're watching over our words. He said, because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we have already have, which is Jesus Christ. We're trying to let people understand the foundation is Jesus Christ. Listen here. The only way you can come to Jesus Christ We got to make sure we're letting people know that the only way you can come to the Father is you must come through the Son. You got to go through Jesus Christ to get to the Father. That's the foundation of the gospel, that you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died and that he rose and he's going to resurrect again. That's the foundation that we build on top of. Everything else comes out of him. In him and because of him that we live, that we move, and we have our being. Jesus Christ is the only way. He's the only truth, and he's the only life. This is the word of the Lord, right? And when we try to go any other way, he said, guess what? You're a thief and you're a robber. When you try to, you can't get to Jesus through Buddha. You can't get to Jesus through any other name except the name of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way. I am the truth. He became our the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. He is our redeemer. He redeemed us with the precious blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Verse 12, I'm almost finished. It says, anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. Excuse me, our works are going to be tried by fire, right? Our works are going to be tried. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. You know, when our motive is good, our motive is God. When we're doing whatever it is that we do in word or deed, if we're doing it so God can get the glory, then our motive is good. If we're doing it so God can get the glory, if we're doing it because people preach Christ for different reasons, the Apostle Paul says. He says in the book of Acts, he says, some was preaching to make things harder for me because I was in jail because of the name. They wasn't sincere. They was doing it. Some preach from envy because people will be envious of you and they will try to mock you. Okay. If some preach, you know, they was just trying to start trouble. But you know what the Apostle Paul says? He said, none of that don't even matter because at the end of the day, Christ is still being preached. But listen, God sees our heart and God knows our motive and he knows our motives for our mission. He knows that we're doing this so he can be glorified, or he knows we're doing this so we can be glorified. But I don't know about you, but to God be all the honor, to God be all the praise, and to God be all the glory. He said, if the work survives, the builders will receive a reward. Do you know you'll be rewarded for your work on earth when your motive is God, when it's so God can get the glory? You know, our works are going to be tried. He going to say, probably, I saw when you was out there feeding those hungry people. I saw you was when you was out there feeding the homeless. You know what? I'm going to give you a reward for that because your motive was me. You wasn't doing it to be seen. You was doing it so they could see me, not so they can see you. It's not about people seeing us. It's not about people thinking highly of us. It's not about us wanting the attention. It's about us making sure that God gets the attention. Our goal is God. It's always to lead people to Christ. We, as ministers of reconciliators, as ambassadors of Christ, our goal must always be God, to lead people to Jesus Christ so they can get back to the Father. I'm so glad that he made a way for me. I'm so glad that he waited for me. I'm grateful and I'm thankful because I was lost. I was a sheep without a shepherd. I was lost. I was one of those ones, like, you know, that scripture say he looked out upon the multitude and with great compassion because he could see they was like sheep without a shepherd. He said, therefore, pray to the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers across their path. And someone prayed for me. I know my mama prayed for me, but somebody prayed for me, and then God sent the labor to me. It was through TV. I got saved through TV, but it didn't matter. God sent the labor. So pray for your lost loved ones that God will send a labor into their harvest because God has compassion on lost souls. He that winneth souls is wise. If you want the wisdom of God, start winning souls. He will show you how. The builder will be saved. The person who did the work, he said, they're going to still be saved, you know, if they accepted Jesus Christ. But like someone who barely escaping through a wall of fires, flames, make sure that our motive for what we do is God. Make sure that when we do something for people, that we pray with them so they can know that it wasn't about us. It's because of God. Because if I give you a piece of bread, I need to give it to you in the name of the Lord. You need to know that I'm not good. The only reason, there's none good but the Father. And anything good you see about me is because of my father, because I dare not want you thinking highly of me. I dare not want you thinking that there's anything special about me. It is because I'm special before him. And that's all there is. Jesus said, why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? He said, there's none good but the Father. Because anything good and everything good about me, that is because of him. He said, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives inside of you? Do you realize? I remember when the Lord gave me that revelation, he gave me a rhema word. I've been knowing that your body was a temple, but when he brought it alive to me, when it jumped off the page and he gave me the revelation that my body was his temple and that his Spirit lived on the inside of me. How special. What an honor and a privilege, because out of everything he created, he saw fit to put himself inside of us, to put his Spirit on the inside of us. God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. Did you hear that? 2 Corinthians 3:17. He says, God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. So he said, stop deceiving yourself. If you think you are wise by this world standard, if you think you're smart because you got all these degrees, these accolades, these rewards, because everybody say you're smart, and according to the world standard, they're saying you're smart, you're a genius, or whatever it is. He said, if you think you are wise by this world standard, you need to become a fool to be truly wise. He said, you need to give up your way from my way. You need to quit thinking your thoughts, those worldly thoughts, and put on the mind of Christ. Because he chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, right? He said, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. As the scripture says, he traps the wise in the snares of their own cleverness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. He knows they are worthless. He said, put that stuff aside. I count it all lost. I count it all lost for the cross. I count it all lost for the cross. The rewards, all that kind of stuff, that's good. I was just supposed to be getting a reward, a trailblazer award. None of that stuff don't impress me. Yes, the Lord said, give honor where honor is due, but that's it. You know, we say thank you to people, but we give God the glory. And if you are offended because people aren't worshiping you for what you did for them, then we need to go and get back on our knees and repent, because what is it we have that we did not receive? It's not that you're good. It's that God is good, right? And when we do things as unto the Lord, I was getting dressed this morning. Paul said, listen, the reason people grow weary in doing good is because they're not doing it as unto me. He said, whatever you do, as unto the Lord, whatever you do in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord, as unto the Lord. When you're doing it as unto the Lord, he will strengthen you. He will grace you to continue on. So when you're doing it as unto the Lord, when the offense comes, it's going to be easier to overcome the offense. And when we understand the fight, Ephesians 6:12, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, when we understand that my fight is not against you, that it's the devil behind the scenes instigating the entire thing, we won't take on the offense. But when we do what we do as unto the Lord, we're not going to see it as this person using me or that person using me. No, God is using me. A lot of times God wants to use us, but we think that the only way he can use us is behind the pulpit. But God wants to use us every single day. Will we yield our members to him? Will we make ourselves available to him? Will we let him speak through us to someone else? Will we let him use us? Lord, I don't know about you, but all I want to do is follow after you. When we lose our life, this life is not about what we want. This has nothing to do with what we want. He said, I'm crucified. Every day we need to crucify our flesh. It's not about what we want. It's about what he wants. Jesus said, not my will, Father, but let your will be done in my life. It's not about what we want. It's not about us. It's bigger than us. So don't boast about following a particular human leader. Don't be boastful. Well, I go over here to this church. Oh, I follow this pastor. Oh, I follow this ministry, or I follow that ministry. He said, don't boast about following a particular human leader, for everything belongs to you. whether Paul or Apollos or Peter or the world or life and death or the present and the future, everything belongs to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. That's it. I gotta go. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Thank you, Lord, for your word, that your word will not return void. Father, we just thank you that we will not be wise in our own eyes, but we will acknowledge you in all our ways. We won't try to figure it out, Lord. We won't lean to our own understanding. We give up our way for your way, Lord God. And we yield our members to you. We say we want what you want. Lord, all we want to do is follow after you. Father, we just thank you for filling us with a hunger and a desire for you.